And welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. Today is March 9th, 2025, in the celebratory month of St. Patrick's Day. Just not to put too fine a point on it. Make sure you celebrate it all month long.
Yeah.
Because everyone in March is Irish.
Go green.
We're kind of like the Hawaiians. When you go to Hawaii, everybody gets to be Hawaiian. Yeah, so. Go St. Patrick's Day. My name is Aaron Ryan. That would explain
Bill
that other thing.
Yeah. Thanks for working that out for us.
Well, Bill's Welsh. What does he know?
Yeah.
Sorry. You guys don't have your own month.
That's all right.
He's bitter about it.
We're always whipping up on the Irish anyway, so, you know.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You want the sound up or down?
Up.
Up?
Yeah.
Sound? More sound? Sound, more sound? We're having a hard time hearing. Okay. So, today we're doing two things. We are speaking with Dr. Harry Booyans because there have been new developments from the Trump administration on South Africa, all of which I missed. So, Harry will be updating us on that. We thought that would be of interest. And then the second hour, we have Phil Kirpin with us from American Commitment, and he'll be talking about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB, that some of our friends on the other side of the aisle are apoplectic that the whole world will fail if we get rid of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which, according to Mr. Kirpin, is not accurate. And I have a terrific op-ed up there on our page at wethepeopleradio.us if you go on to March 9th, 2025. Unless, of course, I'm airing this on a different day, in which case I will make the page say that. But that's when it's first coming on here. And you can go on and read his op-ed. It's really good and explains quite a bit. I also asked him if he could give us the 411 on some of the tariff stuff. And he is very well versed in that, so he'll be able to give us some tariff information, and that's going to happen in the second hour. So, without further ado, Harry Booyans, Dr. Harry Booyans. He's an internationally recognized multiple award-winning PhD, hence the doctor part. He's a defense and aerospace physicist. What?
Thanks for that.
Look, I was just feeling a little squirrely.
That's okay. Yeah. I wasn't clear what DR meant. I'm glad you mentioned
I didn't
that.
Have DR. It just said Harry Booyans. And then I was like, I got to fix the page. It doesn't say that. I should make Bill introduce the guest. Wouldn't that be super fun? Bill, are you ready to do that?
Yeah, anytime.
Okay, go right ahead.
Yeah, you go for it. Here's Aaron.
Somebody asked me yesterday, what's Bill do on the show? I'm like, he's our trusty foil. So Harry's originally from South Africa. He has a bloodline that goes back 360 years. Lives with his family currently on the forested slopes outside of Vancouver, Canada, the 51st state, or I don't know how we're doing that, but these days, I don't know how that's working. But anyway, who knows? But we're neighbors, basically. His life as a scientist exposed him to many of the realities of the Cold War and the period immediately following the fall of the Berlin Wall. It included interaction with the United States and British defense establishment. He has applied his lifetime of research and interpretive skills to history and genealogy and writes with factual accuracy and a very engaging style on all of those subjects. Hard evidence is a trademark of his work, and it's won him a number of awards. He focuses on making Americans aware of what's happening in South Africa, the historic parallels between the two countries, and the warning that South Africa holds for Western civilization in general, and the United States of America in particular. And he has been following our politics doggedly for quite some time, and the Trump administration has been a particular interest to him because it's really, I think, going to solve some of their issues down there. So, Harry, what happened? I think it was yesterday. Did it happen yesterday or the day before? Something happened recently with the Trump administration that's going to impact South Africa in a good way. Yep, and he is in the cone of silence. I heard someone cough. Wasn't me. Wasn't Bill. Uh-oh. Something funky happened.
I'm going to try to hang up with Harry and call him back again.
Okay.
It says we're on, but...
All right. Well. I guess that's the hanging up part. So, that said... Oh.
Hey, by the way, they're getting rid of Skype. I saw on the news.
Really?
Yeah, so we might have to find an alternative.
Is that a lie? Is that like we're getting rid of Medicaid? Because we're not getting rid of that.
Look it up.
Are we really getting rid of Skype?
Yeah, fact check me.
Someone told me yesterday we're getting rid of the post office. I'm like, yeah, pretty sure that's not happening.
Yeah, we're going to replace it with TikTok.
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
Yeah.
So for all the people that are planning on protesting your local congressman's office because they're getting rid of Social Security, Medicaid, and I forget what else is on the list. None of those things are happening. So you can go do something else with your day. Go walk your dog, have a snack, probably drink more decaf.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, Medicaid is actually not being cut. So
although they did try to get rid of it through illegal means. I just heard that one in every $5 was fraud.
Yeah, we might get rid of some of that.
Yeah, I think we should get rid of we got rid of that. We probably wouldn't even have to think about getting rid of it.
Well, nobody's planning to get rid of it. Yeah. It's just a scary talking point that is going around, and I don't know why they keep doing it. Keep telling people we're getting rid of Social Security, too. That's never been true. But continue to scare people with it. How are we doing in there, David?
Oh. Harry, are you there?
Yeah, finally, I just heard Aaron start to speak.
Oh, there we go.
Bill's like, I wish I just heard Aaron start to speak.
I am short, gray, and full of it, they tell me.
The trifecta. Sue, what's happening in South Africa? I know nothing about it, so it's basically all you.
I must have done something like 9 or 10 shows with you over the.
Well,
last
okay, I know that
years,
part. Sorry,
but last time we spoke was relatively earlier in February this year, and. That was precipitated by President Trump just before boarding Air Force One to go back to Mar-a-Lago for a weekend. He stood at the bottom of that stair system of the plane, and he made a lot of statements, and near the tail end, and therefore cut off by most news media, he made a bunch of comments about South Africa, that he was unhappy. Well, somewhere around 5 o'clock on February the 7th, he issued an executive order, which basically said in my kind of far southern English, he's really upset with South Africa on two counts. The one is that South Africa has consistently positioned itself in opposition to the interests of the United States. And number two, he takes exception to the treatment of Afrikaners like me in South Africa. That like me is my addition. He didn't say that. And as a result, he's offering refugee status to Afrikaners in the U.S. or refugee status in the U.S. to Afrikaners.
So they can now leave their country, come to the U.S. and be welcomed by us.
Yes. Well, as you can imagine, all hell broke loose in South Africa because a short while later, he issued another statement, which is he's cancelling all aid.
Hmm. Well, and that got their attention.
Well, you see, what confused matters is that he actually froze U.S. aid globally, and so folks in South Africa didn't know whether they're just part of the global freeze or whether they have a special icy condition. And it is pretty evident that somebody who knows exactly what's happening in South Africa has been talking to President Trump, and there is a vague possibility that it might be Elon, who sleeps on the floor of the building across the road from the White House. He's working all hours of the day with that team of his. They don't have time to go home, so they're just camping out in the building across the place. Apparently, I hear they're trying to buy a laundromat to get their clothes going. That would be a South African.
They'll just turn one of the Teslas into a rolling laundry.
Yeah.
And, Trump then started making sort of a number of statements on the subject. And it would appear that he has some sort of a clock on the wall that rings a bell on the 7th of every month, because on this particular 7th of March, I just have to find this clip. Here it is. It says, this is on Truth Social. He says this: South Africa is being terrible. Plus, to long-time farmers in the country, they are confiscating their land and farms. Those two words are in capitals. And much worse than that, all four of those words in capitals. A bad place to be right now. And we are stopping all federal funding. To go a step further, any farmer, bracket, with family, exclaim, close bracket, from South Africa, seeking to flee that country for reasons of safety, will be invited in the United States of America with a rapid path to citizenship. This process will begin immediately. That's himself on his Donald J. Trump Truth Social, dated March the 7th, 2025, at 9 a.m.
Well, that's really fantastic. It's just sad that they have to walk away.
Come to this.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
So, for the people who are unfamiliar, maybe haven't listened to any of the myriad of shows that we have done with you prior, the people that will be affected by this, can you we've got like 2 minutes till the break and we can carry it on beyond that. But when you say the Afrikaners, now who exactly is that?
Okay. Typically the Afrikaner is defined by being largely a white grouping of people descended from Dutch, German, and French, people who settled at the Cape of Good Hope, most typically around the late 1600s. So we've been down there in southern tip of Africa for an awfully long time. We pretty much match the New York Dutch settlement. It's the same era. Okay, the Dutch arrived in New York around, I think, 1607, something like that, and in Cape of Good Hope, 1652. And in fact, my wife's one ancestor was born in New York in 1660.
Wow.
And ended up a orphan girl at the Cape. So people transited like that. So we're kind of the original stock that your country was built on.
Yeah.
You know? And we've been down there in the southern tip of Africa ever since about 1652. And obviously people have intermarried with some local folks, but that was mostly with slaves that the Dutch brought from the Far East, like Indonesian people and so forth. And not so much with the black people, because it took from 1652 to around 1702 before they met the first black people far to the east, hundreds and hundreds of miles further to the east.
So the idea that the Dutch went there and subjugated all the black people and kicked them off their land is
that's complete
1,000%
rubbish.
Fiction. So let's allow people to absorb that, because We have to take a really quick break. Our guest is Dr. Harry Booyans, and he has a terrific blog, a great book, and a great website. We have that all listed for you on March the 9th, 2025 at
wethepeopleradio.us. It kind of feels like the first 6 weeks of the Trump administration.
Yeah, I was wondering if that abracadabra could be sort of stuck in a wand somewhere that I could just wave to fix things in my old part of the world.
Wouldn't that be great? I think it's coming, actually. I think we're as close as we've been.
I don't think there's a lot going to escape his purview.
Yeah, they put that song up a long time ago. Little did they know it would be really telling right now. So the Dutch, if people are having a kind of a moment thinking, what do you mean there were no black people there? What do you mean they didn't enslave them? Please go back and listen to the programs. We've done a bunch of shows with him, about the history and about the settlement, and none of that is disputed.
It's like nobody needs to believe me. Just go to the CIA fact book and look at the human distribution in South Africa. It'll be in your face obvious, even today.
Yeah, we did that. We did that one really cool program with you where you analyzed all the language distribution. That was very telling.
Because I always thought that map makes things so clear. Where are the Germanic languages, the European languages? Where are they the dominant language? And it's exactly the area that I've been talking to you about for years.
Yeah. So those folks now, that's where the farm murders are taking place. So people are being brutalized. We've done quite a few shows on that, but it doesn't actually get the coverage that it should get.
Actually, the answer is no to that previous comment.
Really?
Most of the farm murders are taking place further east into the area where the black people are the majority, and that violence is very specifically black on white.
But do they get to escape too? Are we giving them an out?
No.
What? We're not?
No, hang on now. I'm confused by what you say. It's not two countries. It's one country.
No, I know. But do they have access to the to leave and to come here?
The farmers are all over the country.
Right.
That map was just a majority racial distribution.
Right. No, sorry. I kind of shifted gears. I mixed my topics.
And so what's going on is that this thing about taking away people's farms, which is what President Trump is complaining about, that's something that's happening in the East. Mm-hmm. And the black people there claim entirely wrongly that sections of that land – well, it's true that they lost sections of that land and some of it was improperly taken – there's no dispute about that. But the idea of going to white farms in areas where black people historically have not been and then saying your forefather stole it from us and we want it back, that's just nonsense. But the reality of the current moment is that the black people are the dominant demographic in the east of the country, and white and so-called colored people, and I have to say so-called because it doesn't mean the same thing as historically in the U.S., the whites and coloreds are dominant in the West. But the people that are mostly attacked on farms are white people in the east of the country, in the black-dominated part of the country.
And so those people will be able to take advantage of the ability to come here. The problem is they can't sell their land or any of those things. I mean, they just have to walk away?
I think that's what it's going to mean in the end. So the you can understand how difficult this is for everybody. Give up your life and flee.
Yeah.
Oh, now my mind is playing tricks on me. I've forgotten what I wanted to say. Can I just check with you whether you guys have received in the chat the two MP3s that I sent like half an hour ago?
I don't know. It's happening in a different room. I'll leave that to David over there. I'll tell you if he gives me the thumbs up or the thumbs down. We'll go with the thumbs up. Caesar says we're a go.
Okay, so I think there might be some benefit to playing the one called Malema just until he stops screaming and he yells attention. So not the whole 13 MP3.
Shoot to kill the mother, kill the poor, the farmer, kill the poor, the farmer.
Something bonkers is happening in South Africa. A major political movement drawing stadiums of tens of thousands of people has as its organizing principle the killing of white people. Julius Malema, the head of the Economic Freedom Fighters, openly chants, kill the Boer, kill the farmer. It's not just
okay,
rhetoric.
That's probably enough. So that's the head of the number three party, previously the youth leader of the governing party. And recently invited by the president of the country to rejoin the main governing party. And he's on a stage yelling, kill the Boer, which is Dutch for farmer. Kill the Boer, kill the farmer. And then he makes his right hand into the shape of a gun and points it in the air and he goes, purr, pa, pa. Okay, there's no doubt about what he means with any of that. And duly, people go out and kill farmers, torture them. Killing them is not enough. They have to be tortured first. And this is what's been happening now ever since Mandela came to power in South Africa. So Americans have been painted one picture by your chronically left-leaning media, who's infatuated with that ANC government. They've always been. Supported by Soros, whose original first ever project of this nature was South Africa. South Africa is a George Soros project. He's very proud of it. And for us, it means death. So you can hear what's happening in South Africa. You don't have to see the visuals. I'm pretty sure that audio track was enough to make things clear. But it goes further, and I think there's some merit to playing the other little soundtrack, which is an idiot called Nota Beloi, who's explaining to a host who sits there completely silent, never interjects or anything, and he makes the following comments, which should endear him to your hearts very much, I'm sure, because he has very specific statements. Let's just play it.
The problem that South Africans have right now is that we don't understand white people. White people are inferior species to us. We are Homo sapiens. They've got Neanderthal blood in them. This is the science, and this is not science that was done by black people. It was done by them. You understand? Abu Clive, W. Lewis, they were eugenicists. They studied this, and they realized that they're inferior to blacks. The white population is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. For us, it makes no sense to descend into the savagery that they have. Whatever land that they're holding on to, either way, their numbers are dwindling. Whatever leadership that they had is dying out as well. And you know about wealth disappearing after the third generation that is passed down to, you know. So they're on the last generation. We're dealing with the weakest whites that the world has ever seen. So we expect to have ubuntu, humanity. Unfortunately, by the strictest definition of what a human being is, white people are just below human beings. You are negotiating with an animal, a wild dog that you're trying to train to be tamed, to be upo, you who guards your house. You can never do that. So we're expecting ubuntu from them. We're like, you stole our land, you butchered our people and everything else, and we just want justice. We're not out for your blood. We're not chopping off your heads. We're not doing anything. Why don't you guys understand that? Why don't you guys have ubuntu? Why don't you guys have a heart? They don't, because they're incapable of that. You cannot expect the same behavior of a human being that you're expecting of a dog.
Today, we've got some juicy news.
Okay, that's
wow.
It.
Wow.
Does that make it clear?
Yeah. And that's what the people in South Africa are up against. That's the kind of the prevailing
all the time. And it has been like this since 1994, and nobody wanted to listen. Damn. And it's just got worse and worse. Okay? So when you meet a South African, you'll meet a person who's kind of resigned to the fact that nobody listens. Nobody believes. They think you're lying when you say these things. And now these people have become so hubristic. They are infused with hubris. They're like an ostrich in the mating season. Their heels grow red. Okay? Like guppy fish that turn red when they're dominant. They're like that. And they now feel completely immune to anything. And so they're saying what they're really thinking. They're saying what's really on their minds. And it's all coming out. And you can see it. It's a little bit like, you know, President Trump digging open what the Democrats did for the last 4 years or more, okay? And the same but by different mechanisms, South Africa. The truth can no longer be hidden. It's out there for all to see. And I made the comment last time, and I'm going to repeat it. Nobody listened for 31 years, and finally God sent his imperfect angel, and his name is not Gabriel, it's Donald. He took a look and he said, this is not on, this will not stand, not on my watch. You understand how people feel about him where I come from now?
Yeah. But you know what the narrative here is going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Which is why Robert sent me a note. I had a cancellation on this hour. And Robert sent me a note last night and said, are we going to have Harry on tomorrow? Because all this stuff that's happening with South Africa and the... all the immigration, tell me what they're doing. What's the, it's not visas. It's, what is it that they're doing?
Well, it's two different things, and nobody has clarity enough to proceed on either. A month ago, what he did is he made an executive order that says refugee status for all Afrikaners. He did that without defining an Afrikaner, which caused, many thousands of people to overnight discover their Afrikaner roots, as you can imagine. Leaving people like me rather bemused. I don't have a drop of British blood in me. I'm 100% Afrikaner, for all the terror that has meant. And now, a month later, 2 days ago, he did not issue anything formal. He did a Truth Social statement, and he says he's offering a rapid path to citizenship with immediate effect for South African farmers, right? Mm-hmm. This time he didn't say Afrikaner. This time he said to long-time farmers in the country. Those were his words. Now, it is up to the State Department officials and those guys who spend their lives drafting documents and stuff to try and interpret what he's saying and get it wrong and then get it right. And then ultimately there will be more formal documentation issued, I'm sure. Before that ink is dry, you're going to have the Democrats howling holy hell.
Yeah. Because, of course, this is going to be seen as...
racist.
Yeah, some racist thing.
It must be. There are South Africans involved. It must be racist.
Well, it's interesting because,
you know,
based on what's being said and has been said for the entire time we've ever spoken with you, which has been a long time, the racism all goes a different direction than most people
sure.
are being told.
There's literally 142 anti-white laws on the books in South Africa. I'm serious. 142 anti-white laws, such as if you want to create a company, then you have to give 30% of it to a black guy. And there's always an ANC government black guy who's sent to come and stand at the door to make sure it's him.
Wow. So they actually get to pick the person.
Well, that's how it's been experienced. It's not supposed to be like that, but this is what the people on the ground, the black people on the ground, are complaining about, is that the only people who are rich are the hangers-on to the ANC party, and all they ever do is hang around and wait for the next so-called black empowerment, economic empowerment, it's called BEE, Black Economic Empowerment, deal to come down the road, and then they're in the front of the line to collect. Okay, obviously that person doesn't have to do anything, it just needs to be black. And so what you've got is that in the country, the greatest amount of tax is still paid by corporations and white individual taxpayers. Most black people are still on the receiving side of money from the government. They're increasing hand over fist in numbers. When I was a kid, it was like 9 million versus 3 million. Now it's 64 million population and only 4.5 whites. So it's a terrible demographic explosion. And obviously, you know, many people point out it was brought on by stupid white people bringing medical services and things to Africa. And this is how it turns out. Philosophically, I don't quite agree with that, but that's one of the points that gets made by the French who did most of that stuff in Africa. Now, I have a bunch of other things here. There's at least one American chap. His name is Chris Wyatt. He's a retired colonel. I don't know whether he was Marines or Army. I'm pretty sure he wasn't Air Force. But he had his military career, and then he got posted all around the world as part of the Department of State. I always want to say foreign, the foreign office. That's the British term. Mm-hmm.
Hold that thought. Let's take a quick break so we don't have to interrupt the whole thing. And we'll come right back. Our guest is Dr. Harry Booyens. And we are talking about South Africa here for the next 20 minutes, at which point we'll move into the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Kind of an odd switcheroo. You can find us at We the People, and you can find the archive of this after the show at wethepeopleradio.us.
Speak of the devil. The devil appears.
I
sure if we're having a mad world or not. I guess this will clear that up for you. And just for the people who maybe wanted to hear those clips again, I just added those to the page for today. So you can go on the website and you'll be able to play those again.
Okay. I was thinking, Aaron, if I may, there's two dimensions to all of President Trump's actions with respect to South Africa. The one is the mistreatment of Afrikaners and Afrikaner farmers in particular. And what he's done there is he's offered Afrikaners, whatever the word may mean in his mind, he's offered them refugee status. And number two, he's offered farmers in particular a rapid path to citizenship. So those are the two things he's done a month apart. And that's all based on the kind of stuff that you heard in those audio clips that I gave you. The other part of the whole thing is just as important and is really more fundamental, I think. And that is that this South Africa that everybody in the U.S. has been so enamored with is an enemy of the United States and has been since forever. Okay? It's just that one particular guy managed to do a good job of selling Nelson Mandela to naive Americans, and thereby they thought, ooh, South Africa is a great ally of America. What wonderful things to happen in South Africa. Well, you got done. You got played. Okay? You got played big time. And so this brings now the other half of the whole thing. So I wanted to share with you just some numbers here. The U.S. has been supporting South Africa with $500 million in simple gifted foreign aid per annum, every year, $500 million just gifted. From 2003 to 2025, the U.S. donated $8.1 billion to fight HIV/AIDS in South Africa, only South Africa. The U.S. buys around $430 million worth of South African mineral exports. And despite breaking all the rules, the U.S. has allowed South Africa to remain part of a thing called AGOA, which gives the countries that are part of AGOA, gives them duty-free access to the USA. Okay? And there's about $3 billion in exports involved in that. The U.S. is, in fact, South Africa's second largest trading partner. It shouldn't be a surprise that China is the biggest. And, in fact, South Africa has a bit of a trade surplus with the United States. The annual trade between the two countries is of the order of $20 billion. And, the U.S. has constantly backed South Africa in all kinds of places. But here is what South Africa has been doing, and this is what Trump is complaining about. So the left in the U.S. is going to say, oh, no, all the evil is on the U.S. side. But South Africa imposed a 75% tariff on U.S. poultry imports. It has refused to condemn the Russian invasion, and then it declared itself neutral. When the whole COVID injection thing came around and suitable materials were developed, suitable vaccines, he referred to it as vaccine apartheid. They are extremely close with Hamas. They've never criticized Hamas. And when the 7 October 2023 attack happened in Israel, they did not condemn it. And some people say that Naledi Pandor, the South African foreign relations idiot, actually called them up and congratulated them. But I'm not too sure that that's true, but that's what people say. They, instead of criticizing Hamas, they blamed Israel for creating the conditions that led to the terror attack. And then comes the things that I think really tripped up the matter. I just got to get my numbers straight here for a second. Load up a particular file here. Okay, I want to see a Russian ship docked in not Cape Town, but Simonstown, the naval base. This was a particular ship that had been listed by the U.S. as being under sanctions. People are not to host that ship. This thing headed to supposedly go past the Cape. It went a couple of miles past it. Then it shut off its ID system, disappeared from the world tracking systems, made a beeline for South Africa's military port at Simonstown near Cape Town, and offloaded / uploaded a bunch of stuff. Then sailed back to more or less where it had gone dark, switched back on its ID system and pretended to carry straight on. The ship was called the Lady R. Okay? And people refer to it as the Lady Russiagate event. It led to an investigation in Parliament, and the South African government swears high and low that actually that was a shipment of ammunition from a Middle East country, and that they had no idea it was a Russian ship, some stuff like that. You can decide whether you believe that. The U.S. inquired about it politely, discreetly, and diplomatically, and didn't get adequate responses from South Africa. So that left a very distinct impression on the U.S., and that was at the time of Biden, so it wasn't even Trump. So then, the next thing is, they started charging American diplomatic flights, planes, started charging them access fees in Johannesburg. Then they ended up on the being grey-listed internationally for money laundering and terror financing. And then, in another fit of stupidity, they authorized a Russian military cargo plane to land at the South African airbase at Pretoria. And I have flown out of that airbase. You know, can you imagine that the U.S. government approving a landing of a Russian military cargo jet at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base?
Yeah, mostly no.
Yeah, because that place, Waterkloof, is like Wright-Patterson for South Africa. And then, to make matters worse, in 2024 and earlier, it turns out that a company called Grace Air in South Africa was training Chinese Communist Party pilots. And it turns out that amongst their little friends that they had there, there was an American, an ex-Marine pilot called Daniel Duggan. And he, along with others, were busy using South African facilities to train communist China Air Force pilots. Isn't that just great?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Wow.
Okay, and then, as though that's not enough, you have, during 2024, I believe it was, Operation Mosey 2, a trilateral naval exercise conducted February 2023, there it is, involving the navies of South Africa, Russia, and China. Exercise along the South African Indian Ocean coast, I should say. Aimed at enhancing maritime cooperation, etc., etc. There was a frigate from each of the nations, and the Russian frigate was equipped with the Zircon missiles, the hypersonic cruise missiles that have been used now against Ukraine. So that's not a country that is your friend. So I'm one of the people that would call for individualized personal sanctions on individuals, like on that Malema that you heard singing, Kill the Farmers. I think there should be personalized sanctions on the president of the country and on every single one of those ANC people that walk up to a microphone and say anything racist ever again. Trump is wanting them to remove the racist laws off the books. It's not going to happen. And so, you know, I personally would go and buy an American flag, hang it on my house, and wave it in the street if he sends an aircraft carrier and parks it just offshore from Simonstown Naval Base near Cape Town. It would be also good if a couple of overflights by, particularly F-18s, not F-35s, but F-18s. They make more noise and they're very visible. F-35s are too stealthy.
Too subtle.
Too subtle. Okay. If they could arrange for a long distance refueling flight for B-52s, a flight of those along the coast of South Africa would be a good move as well. Frankly, I would like for the United States to scare the living bejesus out of these people. It's time.
Yeah. Well,
it is time. Okay?
I mean, just based on everything you have told us over the years, if the farmers abdicate, or should I say when, actually, the farmers abdicate, the next thing we'll be doing is some sort of food aid, because then they'll all be starving.
Yes. We all know that. That's what's happened everywhere. You know, and as I explained last time, they keep getting people's land, that they don't give it to black people. They give it to associations that are not allowed to sell that land again. Then the government keeps control of it. So the available portion is shrinking and shrinking. And therefore, what the white owns becomes a larger and larger and larger fraction of what's available, because they're hiding that which they have stolen. Well, they're hiding that from sight. And places like CNN and the BBC play along with this.
Well, and they're not taking over the farms and running them.
No.
They're taking over the farms, and the farms are going defunct because they don't know how to run them.
I could load you on a plane and take you with me. I'll go and show you Zebedela Estates. If you want to know what miles after miles of dead orange trees look like, get on the plane.
Yeah. I mean, it's just this is like a obvious question or a rhetorical question, but how is it that the people who live there don't see that the end of this doesn't turn out well for them?
I have told you before, last time I was on the air with you guys, I believe I told you that logic and reason are not the strengths of African culture. It is best exemplified by a comment that the old Zambian president made in the 1960s in a newspaper article. He said, "I don't understand white people. Why is it that they always ask, why does the sun come up in the east? It doesn't matter. It will always come up in the east." So it is a completely fatalistic culture. What is. If there's food, you eat it. If it's not there, you die. Fatalistic. Okay? It will always be like that because it's basically educated into them from when they're little. And you know, if you put people through school exams and don't make it, then the obvious thing to do is lower the pass level. So that if you score 30%, you still make it through school.
Yeah, we've tried that. That hasn't worked out all that well. It's interesting, though, everywhere is a little bit hamstrung by their cultural norms. And it's funny because the whole world is seeing how people in New York negotiate. And a lot of people are having a little cultural whiplash. It's like, why is he so? And I'm like, he's from New York.
Yeah, I keep telling people.
Go spend
a
day there. You'll figure it out.
He's from New York. He's not going to throw the first punch.
No.
But if you punch first, he is going to hammer you.
And then we'll go have dinner later. You know, he's good with that. Harry, we have to run away.
Yeah,
can you believe it? We burned an hour with you. But sure, we will speak again soon. Thanks for being available short notice.
Sure. And maybe around 7th of April when he's no doubt going to do the next thing.
Nice.
Exactly.
Nice. Well, we will be back with Bill Kerpen. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Thanks, Harry. Stand for nothing. There's no